How are you, friends? I have missed seeing you. I've been away for, 2 weeks. I haven't been here. I was at the woman's retreat, and we had an amazing time discovering, the elements that we were looking into: water, wind, fire, and rest. It was a powerful, powerful time. And last week, I was sick. But I watched online once Lynn got it uploaded, and oh my gosh, I cannot tell you how I was filled with joy. And then when Nadine got up here and she started sharing, and it was just so comforting to me to know here's a woman who's done her research, who has the clinical professional backings to speak on science and the effectiveness of stillness. And I know none of this, but to know that what Jesus was leading me in, science and the Lord do not contradict each other. And I think the more we look at him, the more we hear him, the more we spend time with him, the more we're able to see how things are knit together. The more keys he reveals to us, because why? He wants us to thrive and not just survive, right? Randy was saying, Tab, after every Sunday for the last month, I have been receiving major deliverance. And I said, Randy, that is an answer to my prayers, because I am constantly asking Jesus to deliver. Not only you guys, but me, myself, and I. And so one of the things we're going to touch in our continuation of this series that we're on, which is called Out of the Shadows, it's going to be peppered throughout the year as we go on and other things brought in and out of it. I'm going to share with you a couple of the things that are going on right now. So for those of you who know me, I am a dreamer. I have been dreaming ever since I was a little girl. And when I was a little girl, I'd have dreams. And if my parents are watching, they can attest to this. But I would have a dream that my dad was going to get into a car accident. And the next day he did. And that morning I was telling him, don't go and do what you got to do. I saw this. This is going to happen. And you're going to stop at a light coming off the highway, and you're going to turn left when the light turned green, and somebody's going to run through and hit you. And in the dream, my dad actually died. And I remember going into deep intercession for my father as a little girl, praying that God would spare his life. And so, yeah, I did, praying that God would spare his life. And I was so distraught. Now, I have a beautiful 3-year-old granddaughter whose name is Saoirse. And she was distraught last night because she wanted to sleep with me. And it's a preaching Sunday, and I don't normally sleep on a preaching Sunday because I'm buzzing with all the things and trying to discern what step forward, Lord, because I only have puzzle pieces. And Saoirse was distraught, screaming for Vava. I could hear her. I want my Vava. She was unconsolable even when I got there. And then I had to sing this little song that I made up for her. I love you. Yes, I do. You're my little Saoirse-roo. I love you. You're my little cutie-oots. And I kept doing that, and then I turned to, and she settled right down and fell asleep in my arms. I share that with you, and Nadine will testify that the Lord, when we are in distraught and chaos is going around, he starts with singing for us and singing over us. And the scripture says that he has a song that sings over us all the time. He's not afraid of our knickers in our knot and our distraughtness. So in that dream, while I was distraught and I'm calling out to God, He quickened my parents to come into my bedroom. They could hear me screaming, but they could not actually physically wake me up. I was literally locked in that dream. And so in our distraughtness, the Lord is singing, and he puts out a voice that actually comes to us before the event happens, because he says, I am the God that tells you the end from the beginning. And then once you find yourself in that, oh, I can't breathe, I'm hyperventilating because everything's going wrong and I'm upset and I feel powerless and I don't know what to do, you might go, oh, I can't hear him. But he is holding you close going, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, Nadine, what does humming do for a child?
Humming stimulates your vagus nerve, which increases the braking in your autonomic nervous system.
And so basically it's reset. It means reset. You know, when you're on your computer and that lovely little, on my Mac, colorful little ball comes up and it spins. And it spins and it spins and nothing's happening because it's spinning. You're on the spin cycle, right? Okay, well, that's reset. The humming is reset. And God is humming over you his love and his devotion. This is part of kingdom. So when you cannot hear his voice, don't panic. He's already spoken to you. Trust me. But actually listen for that that actually brings you into that stillness. And that's why what Nadine was doing last Sunday is so very, very important and practical, to pull those into things on a regular basis. So I have been a dreamer since I was little, and I was panicking. That morning, after pleading with the Lord, and I'm telling my dad, and I am distraught, and he's trying to comfort me. He has a job that he has to go and do. My dad's an architect. He had a client he had to go meet. He decides to take my grandfather with him. My grandfather was not in the dream, but he takes my grandfather with him, and off they go, and sure shoot, and guess what? They got in a car accident, exactly like I said it would happen. Now, you got to understand, this is not anything that I can manifest on my own. This is a gift freely given to me by the Lord. But it is a gift, and I share these things not to toot my own horn, but to say this gift that is given is also for you. Jeff, one day, you know, because I go into bed and I'm like, this is me. I go into bed and I go, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Father God. Come, Lord Jesus. Hover over me while I sleep. Sing to me in the night season while my spirit's awake. Talk to me. Love me. And I teach the youth to do this, and I've been teaching children to do this for a very, very long time. And I feel the weightiness of his presence. Even now, I really don't want to get up off the floor. And it's in these moments of stillness that he comes and he shares. And I would do this every night. I noticed that Jeff kept getting closer and closer to my side of the bed. Closer. Okay. Come, Holy Spirit. And Jeff kept getting closer and closer. And then one day, one night, he actually kicked me out of bed. And I went, fine. Let him stay on my side of the bed, and I started again. Come, Holy Spirit. That night, Jeff dreamt for the first time that he could remember. And he used to complain that he could not dream and he could not remember his dreams. And so I encourage you that by practicing the presence of the Holy Spirit, the revealer of all secrets in heaven above and on the earth below, he will speak to you and give you keys to your situations. I'm going really slow today because like 2/3 of us are away camping. So I really don't want to rush ahead in order to pull back to get them all up. So you're getting a lovely little interlude that's leading to the next step. Okay? So the gift of dreams. Stuart started the service by talking about the blood of the Lamb and the power of the testimony. On Monday, I was very, very ill, and it was with me until Wednesday. I am way, way clear of that vomiting and diarrhea, thank the Lord. But in that process on Monday, I was writhing in pain. I was having such a bad night, and I was just like beside myself. But in the night season, when I could have moments of sleep, the Lord actually gave me a dream. And I'm going to share that dream with you. Is that okay? Because I feel like it has part and parcel to where we're going. And I felt it was so encouraging to me that the Lord would share this with me because I just can't do this on my own. All right? So what happened in the dream was that I was doing relationship with a young lady, a young adult. And that young adult was doing inner city missions, probably around here somewhere. That was what it felt like it was home front, okay? And in that inner city missions, she was dealing with children. I saw her go down steps and into bars and pull out a child and then go over to behind a dumpster looking for food for whatever. And I'm like, hey, can I help you with that? So I come alongside her as she's going into these very dark and shady places to come and rescue children out of these spaces and places. And then all of a sudden the dream shifts. And now I am in another nation, in Guatemala to be exact. Now, our church doesn't have a connection really to Guatemala right now. We don't have missionaries there that we're supporting, but it was Guatemala. And in Guatemala, I am leading now a team of people from our church. We're going to Guatemala, and we come to alongside the missionary who we're going to be working with, okay? And the missionary that we're going to be working with, well, she's sitting beside a man. This is a man that I don't follow in the natural. I know of him, but I don't know him. I've never really sat under his teachings, but his name is Mehef Shavda. Now, I don't know if you know who Mehef Shavda is. Does anybody know who Mehef Shavda is? Okay, do you guys back there? Okay, Mahesh is in my dream. I have not thought about Mahesh ever. So who is Mehef Shavda? He is a pastor in the U.S. In, I think, either North Carolina or South Carolina. I'm not entirely sure. He loves prayer and fasting. He's all about missions and equipping. But other things that he's about is empowering people to know who they are in Christ, what Christ has actually done for him and the victory that has been won, and what the mission is that Jesus is about. Three things. So I'm sitting in a circle. Let's just say I'm with these guys here. Okay. Mahesh is over here. I'm sitting with these guys. Mahesh is over here. And the woman that we're with, so let's pretend Randy is Mahesh, and you're going to be the woman that we're with who's the missionary in Guatemala. And I'm here, and then I've got a crew of people over here. All right. She's supposed to be our translator. He's supposed to be speaking a different language. I don't know if these guys could understand, but I could understand him as though it was just plain English to me. And which he does speak English, so it was kind of weird. But anyways, he turns to this woman and he says to her, I've got a problem here. And she goes, what's the problem? And I lean forward to listen. I'm eavesdropping. And he says to her, do you really think that these people actually understand the victory that has already been won for them? Do you think that they get it? Do you think they know truly who they are in Christ? Do they even begin to understand the mission? And then I woke up. Now I had to go do research on Mahesh Shabda. So that stuff I told you was stuff that happened after the dream. But when I woke up, the Lord reminded me. He told me that I had a book on my shelf, that I was supposed to go get it. It was by Mahesh Shabda. All right. I don't remember ever buying a book of Mahesh Shabda's because I've never sat under his ministry. But sure shooting, I go up the stairs to the library, and guess what? On the desk outside of my library is a book by Mahesh Shabda. I can't make this stuff up. Ask Jen. I was just like, Jen, you'll never believe this. I got to share this dream with you because she lives with me right now. So I go and get this book. Now you got to understand, this series that we're on, coming out of the shadows and into the light, is actually where I'm going to tell us who we are in Christ, what he's actually done, and what the mission truly is that he's calling us to. So I'm like, God, you're peppering things and you're putting things in place for me. Little like nuggets. I feel like Hansel and Gretel. Do you know what I mean? Ooh. Bread. Bread. You know, I just find it really interesting. So I open up this. Well, before I do that, I do what I always do in dreams. And I go, okay, Lord, so what does Mahesh mean? I'm going to pull out my phone. Here's my notes. As I go and do research on this dream, Mahesh means the great ruler. Right away, I thought about Jesus, because the questions he's asking are all pertaining to Jesus. Do you think that these people understand the victory that God has won for them in Christ? Do you think that they understand who they are in Christ? Can they even begin to comprehend the mission that is at hand? Great ruler. I look up Guatemala. Guatemala means the place of many trees. Well, you know me, if you've been watching and listening, I automatically go, where have I heard that before? When I hear things like that. And automatically, two scriptures come to my mind. One is in Revelation, which is part of this series. Flowing from the throne of God is a river. And that river, on either side of its bank, are trees. These trees are called the tree of life. And these trees bear fruit in all seasons. Okay? So let's just assume, because it's all we know, that there's 12 months. Just assume. In all 12 months, they're bearing fruit. There is no drought. There is no lack. There is abundance available consistently, because their source is the river that flows from the presence of the Lord. Scripture says that within us is a river of life, bubbling up and flowing forward and flowing out. There is no lack. It's not generated by you. It sits on the throne of your life here in your gut, where when you said, yes, Jesus, come be my Lord, this is where he sits as his throne. And from there, life flows. And guess what? You are becoming a tree of life in all seasons, equipped in all things. You have everything you need for every situation, because the source of life that allows the fruit to grow and become is already in you as Peter says, everything pertaining to a life of godliness already contained within you. Put your hands on your belly. Come on, go with me. Be childlike. Put your hands on your belly and say, I've got everything I need. Now say it like you mean it. I've got everything I need. I've got everything I need. When he came into this space to flow from, you lack nothing. You've got everything you need. Are you getting this? I don't know. Are you getting this? Do you believe it? You've got everything you need. You lack nothing. The source of all life in its abundance and flow is in you. You lack nothing. The tree is not going, oh, I gotta grow. It just like, water. Come, Holy Spirit. Stillness. I've got everything I need. I lack nothing. The source of all life is flowing in me like a mighty rushing river. That in any situation, I can rise with a word of wisdom, with the keys to healing that allows me to go and open blind eyes, raise the dead, cast out demons. Because it's not about you, it's about him in you, flowing through you for the world, which is including you. How many times do we have faith to pray for somebody else, but when it comes to our own darn things, we're just like, Jesus is a little bitty, he's a little busy, or I deserve this one. Been there, done that? Got that t-shirt? Yep. Okay. You know what? That thing that hinders you is pride. It's pride. Pride is an evil thing. It can look like that which wants to dominate and control and like rise above somebody else, but it can also look like, I suck. I'm a worm. Oh, I don't deserve anything. Oh, woe is me. Nothing good happened. That is also pride. It's pride that stops you from drinking deeply from the source of life. It's pride that covers up the wells within you. It's a call back to humility. I haven't started really reading this book. I've only gotten into the introduction, but I've already like gone, what? And I showed Jen. I want to read just the table of contents to you, if you don't mind. It's called 100 Year Bloom, Your Keys to Living a Permanent Revival. Interesting. And by revival, it is both personal before it ever becomes corporate. By revival, it is personal before it ever touches your neighbor to the right of you and to the left of you, before it transforms your city block, your neighborhood, your land, your water, the fruit that comes from your life, your finances, and everything else that flows from that, from the throne of grace and God. Those trees bear fruit all the time. No lack. The table of contents, listen to this. This is going to be wild. I'm looking forward to reading this book, okay? The 100-year bloom. Revival is messy. Revival is spontaneous. Revival is costly. Revival is glorious. Revival is joyous. first responders in revival. Revival is rewarding. Pentecost is primal revival. Revival is permanent. Revival people and watching for revival. I don't know about you, but when I read the table of contents, I got all jazzed up going, this is going to be delicious. And one of the things that it mentions here is Cambridge. And I was just like, you can see it. What? Cambridge. Now, it's probably talking about Cambridge in England, but Cambridge. What? I can't make this stuff up. It's on the first page. Cambridge, right there. Cambridge. And you know, if you've got eyes to see and faith to believe that God can do it again, he uses everything as a sign and a symbol to lead you. Past trucks that say Genesis on them, and I'm like, oh my goodness. I saw one that said Revival King. You gotta be kidding me. Load King. Jesus, I give you my load. Do you know what I mean? Like, he is constantly speaking to us if we have the eyes to see, the ears to hear, the heart that believes that he wants to communicate with you, empower you, and not leave you in the mess you feel you're in. It's his job to bring you to maturity, not yours. Yours is simply to yield. The other thing that this place of many trees reminded me of was the oaks of righteousness. The scripture says that they grow up and they have a canopy that is so glorious that all of the birds come and find their resting place in them. And then all the animals are sheltered underneath. Oaks of righteousness. Have you heard that term before? That's his nickname for you. Hi, I'm an oak. I'm an oak of righteousness. So what is righteousness? But the breastplate by which we are covered in. That which allows us to do and be right before God. That which leads us and go, you know, in that discerning fact, should I go over here? Should I steal that? Nope. Over here, over here, over here. Pay for that. You know, shall I lie about this thing? Nope. That righteousness is pulling you in a different direction. It is your breastplate. You are an oak of righteousness. But there are things in life that actually hinder the growth of being an oak or being firmly planted to bear fruit. The kingdom of God is expansive. Being rooted in the kingdom of God means you never lacking. And I'm not just talking about your physical needs, so please don't use God as a slot machine. He is so much more glorious and wonderful, and he doesn't deserve to be treated like that. He loves you unconditionally, and he wants to share everything with you. So please, don't use him just to get your needs met, all right? We often walk around with lenses that help us to only see things from this temporal realm. Lenses that only help us to see the temporal need. We lose sight ever so quickly to the spiritual need. We lose sight of the spiritual realm, especially here in North America. We pretend it doesn't even exist around us. We have no idea the effectualness that we actually cause in partnership with one side or the other. Created in the image of God, we have the power to pronounce. Our words are creative, just like his. We are our Father's children. Apples don't fall far from trees. What we bind on earth, and binding can be many things. It can be an attitude. It can be a posture. It can be an action, a belief system, a theology, a declaration. What we bind on earth, God says he has given us the power that when we agree on that thing, it is bound in heaven. When we release on earth, we release in heaven. First the natural, then the spiritual. Can you please throw up Matthew 13, starting in verse 18, Mariah? God wants us to know how the kingdom works. He wants us to know that he has abundance for us. I have a plan for you. Plan to give you a future and a hope, not to bring destruction on you. Nope, that's not me, he says. Here we go. Hear then the parable of the sower. This is Jesus talking. Now, for those of you who don't know, we're talking about one who sows seeds, farmer. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, that thing you cannot see, but you must activate to believe, and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. Heart. This is the one on whom seed was sown beside the road. Now, in order to get the full teaching of this parable, you'd have to go back to where he explains the parable. And now Jesus is talking to his disciples. So let me pause there. Sower goes out to sow seed is how the story goes. Okay? He takes the seed, holds it in his hand, and he is actually very, very generous with it. He's not going, oh, I can only sow seed here, one seed there, dig a little hole, one seed there, dig a little hole. No, this guy is going like deep into his pockets and he's going, whoosh, whoosh. And for those of you on the podcast, I am being dramatic. And swinging my arms open and throwing seeds long and far and wide, almost like casting a net. Okay? And this is what he's doing. Like, he's not paying attention to, like, he's not counting the cents of these seeds here. And he has just distributed them everywhere. Some of those seeds land on a path. I imagine gravel, you know, or a beaten, muddy, strong, nothing's getting through that thing. And anyways, and it has been well-traveled. And the seed is scattered on the path, and birds come and they eat it before it can take root. Some seed lands in an area that has rocks, and the seed quickly springs up, but it, because of the rocks, like gravel, it can't go deep. The roots can't go deep, so you can come along and just like pluck it out. It just has no depth to it. And then some seed is sown in amongst thorns, and they have better soil. They come up, but these thorns then get like wrap around it. Have you ever seen those creepy vines? And they like just spread everywhere. I don't know what they're called, but man, they kill everything. And they get into your garden. And so anyways, they choke out the life of the plant so it can't grow the seed. But then some of it lands on really good soil. Like, I mean, it's got a good layer of manure mixed in. Right? A lot of poop. And as the poop is being processed with the soil, all of that stuff, it creates this nutrients in the trial and the tribulation and the poop and the mess. It's messy. It's costly to get that poop. But what happens is that the seed springs up and it bears a harvest, multiplying itself, you know, up to 100-fold, 30, 60, 100, depending on which gospel you're reading with regards to the translation. Okay, so here we go. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one to whom seed was sown beside the road. Has Satan ever stolen anything from you? Can I tell you how he gets that prime real estate to steal? You empower him and you open the door to him with every moment of doubt. When you can't take God at his word and he says, you've got everything you need. The moment you start thinking you don't have what you need is the moment you open the door wide for Satan to come and steal the seed of faith and walk away with what's meant for you. You're the gatekeeper. Those birds come and they take off. The one to whom seed was sown on the rocky places. This is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Man, good preaching, sister. That was awesome. Or good preaching, brother. That was awesome. That just so tickled me on the inside. I loved it. It was so good. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. Pilgrim's Progress. The swamp of despair. Christian falls in with Pliable, falls into the swamp, and Pliable was all game when he was thinking about the celestial city and everything that he was going to get. You mean, this is great. I'm not going to die in the city of destruction. Awesome. But then as soon as he hits the first problem, the swamp of despair, bang, Pliable's like, if this is it, man, I'm out of here. And he gets out and leaves Christian with his sack of weightiness there, and he goes all the way back to where he came from. I'm out of there. Oh gosh, that was me one day. I did that to the Lord. I was so angry, and I'm just like, this is what it's like. I don't want anything to do with it. I'm going over here, right? Having a little temper tantrum. And so rocks, persecution, and affliction. They are the things that actually will come and rob what is growing in Christ, because we know that character is only built through persevering, and persevering needs something to persevere against. So it needs that restraint. It needs that hard time. And how are you going to deliver poop to fertilize a ground if you don't go through it? Have you thought about that? You need the poop for the good soil. And we're all trying to medicate ourselves to get away from our problems, whether that's in front of our televisions, whether or not it is an eating addiction, whether or not it is isolation, whether or not it is drinking or drugs or, I don't know, popcorn bowls. I don't know. Like, whatever it is, shopping. I don't know what is actually making you feel like you can cope, but if it isn't Jesus, it's lying to you. It is a liar from the pit of hell, and it will turn on you. It looks like a beautiful butterfly, but man, those things, they're nasty and they bite. So watch out for the affliction that you feel is actually going on in that persecution. And it could be in relationships. It could be even coming from yourself. But the reality is that affliction and that persecution is the poop you're going to need later. So like, come on, Jesus, let's clear out the rocks. What's the truth here? Who do you want to be for me in this moment that you couldn't have been had this trouble never arisen? Because he is the gardener. He is the vine. He is the water source. He is the light, the wind, and your rest. And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth. Say wealth. Welcome to the land of deception. We are incredibly wealthy in North America. Welcome to the world of deception. So is the man who hears the word and the worry. Anybody worried? Of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. No longer planted by the river of living water. And when you root a tree, it has the possibility of dying slowly or never fully thriving. It's not about status quo. It's about upgrades. It's about you becoming who you're supposed to be. And the one on whom seed was sown on good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. The word of the Lord. I don't know about you guys, and if I actually accurately articulated the craziness of this showing up in my house. Because I've never followed Mahesh Shavda. I don't ever recall purchasing this book. I didn't even know it existed in my library. And the fact that it was there, and the fact that Jesus knows I want to talk about and go towards who we are in Christ so we can understand that and shake off fear and shake off distraction and become who we're supposed to be, understand the victory that he has already won so that every time the liar, the one who comes to kill, steal, and destroy, comes to whisper in your ear that you're not enough, that you don't have it, that you lack something that he wants to steal from you, you are equipped to say, get behind me, Satan. You are interested in the things of men and not interested in the things of God. So that you can understand your mission, which is to stand and be the light, the one that points to Jesus, without fear and trembling to open your mouth and say, oh man, I know the perfect person for your situation. I've got the best healer. Can I tell you a story? Can I tell you a story of the most beautiful one who ever was? Who's done everything for you? Everything. Who's forgiven all of your sins? Who has set the captives free? And if you believe it, and if you'll receive it, anyone he sets free is free forever. Forever. So when the liar, the thief, the one who comes to kill, steal, and destroy, goes knocking on your door and says, hi, I'm looking for Tabitha. Tabitha who? You know that girl that was very broken, sexually abused as a little girl? That one? Oh, her. Vaguely have heard something about her, but you know what? I'm so sorry. She doesn't live here. She died. If you want to find her, you can find her in the tomb. For it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. During worship, I got a couple of things. Number one, truth holds everything together. Truth, it is the belt that sits here. I've got everything I need. I lack nothing. We sang a song about the soul. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. And all I could hear was that scripture where Jesus says, what will a man give for his soul? Tell me now, 'cause I have paid the biggest price. What will you give for your soul? We are giving worry over for our souls. Distraction for our souls. Doubt for our souls. affliction that we are not willing to persevere in for our souls. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, really? Oh my soul. What would you give for your soul? I have paid the biggest price. Oh, so I could redeem your soul. The Lord is our strong tower. The thing that we can actually anchor into. The rock on which we can stand and it will not shake or be moved while all of the rest of creation is shaking. He is our strong fortress, the one who hides us like a mighty mountain, and the breath of God flows in and out and around and through us. He is a strong tower that the righteous run into. The flow of breath and water and life and light right there. And the doorway is a split rock. Hidden. You can't see it unless you're looking at the right perspective to see that hiddenness in the rock, Jesus Christ, the doorway into the breath, the doorway into the strong tower, the doorway into the rock that cannot be shaken, split on the day Calvary happened, when he was pierced and blood and water washing and cleansing. One drop of his blood is a greater witness than the blood that looks for, like Cain's blood that's looking for justice. He says something completely different over our souls, and he sprinkles you with it. He goes like this and casts it far and wide. Blood and water is the doorway. So, will you take the time to be still with your word and your God? Allow the water of cleansing to come and satisfy that deep thirst. And the blood of promise. Worthy. Behold the Lamb of God who was slain from the foundations of the world. Behold the Lamb of God as though slain, John said. As though slain. Not past tense, present tense, blood flowing to cleanse you. To empower you, one drop of his blood is enough to heal you. One drop of his blood is enough to restore you. One drop of his blood is enough for all the promises he has made to be yes and amen. So, will you take the time? In these coming days and months, will you carve it out? I promise you, you will not be disappointed. Persevere, persevere, persevere. Some rocks are harder to move. Some weights are harder to lift, but you build muscle in the meantime. I'm telling you, stand in the strength that he has given you, in the peace that he has already won, the truth that he shares about who you are in this world, what he's done to the world, and how his kingdom is taking over. He is being revealed. And this is all about him. Do you know who you are in Christ? Because that's a problem if you don't. Do you understand the victory he has won for you? Because that's a weak spot in your wall if you don't get it. It will take you out. And do you understand his mission? Because he's going out the front door. Amen? So don't worry about the shaking. Shaking and a baking. Bring that shaking and that baking to Jesus. I'll tell you, my prayer for a long time has been this. I see all three four pathways in my life. I see the path where the seed has been stolen. I see the rocks. I see the thorns. I also see the stuff that's growing and producing fruit. I know that I am in transition. The more I change my mind, repent of the doubt I had, and say, I believe you. I'll take you at your word. I don't understand it, but you say lean not on your own understanding, so I'm not going to. I take you at your word. I will take a step forward. A small one, by the way, Lord, I'm just holding on with like a pinky finger of trust here, but you say that you're not a man that you should lie, so let's find out how this goes. This is the reality I'm living in right now. And so we are in transition, but he is the gardener. The Father is the gardener, and he comes, if we let him, to actually send the water for the path, clean up the rocks, and make new boundary lines in your life where the enemy can't transgress them because of the rocks that have been pulled out. It's a farming term, is it not? Do you not take the rocks and make walls around your property? It's a free fence, right? Boundary lines. He is the one who's coming and pulling out those thorns in your life if you will allow him. But beware, little children. The enemy doesn't like you. And he's going to try everything to stop you from resting in presence. Let's pray. Oh, Lord Jesus, we love you. Lord, we give you permission, or at least I do. And you're knowing everybody's heart and mind and thoughts right now. So you're with them and you can understand what they're going through. But I give you permission, Lord, to actually come and water the path. Pull out the rocks, pull out the weeds, and let the poop of my life become really good nurturing to the soul of what you want to do. For it makes me more humble, more compassionate, and I can only give out the love and the freedom that you have given out to me. And so teach us your ways, O Lord. We love you, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name.